Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
So few people really understand the grace of God. I think there's an epidemic in the church of confusion over the grace of God. The grace of God is God's way of dealing with our sin. It's His way of liberating us from bondage. It's His way of lavishing His goodness and His love upon us.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, in a message titled, Grace Abounding. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
But just thinking about the testimonies. I recently did a conference with a girl that was, she was a call girl in Las Vegas. Very, you know, high paid call girl. And somehow the gospel got to her. And where sin abounded, grace did abound that much more, and she came to Christ. And not only did she come to the Lord, but God's given her this amazing ministry right amongst that group of people, and she's sharing the gospel, and she's pulling girls off the streets, and she's seeing them get right with Christ. She's seen their lives transformed. And, you know, would you ever think that those would be the ones, the candidates for salvation? How did we ever get this idea that Jesus came just for good people? How in the world did anybody ever get that idea? Well, they certainly didn't get it from reading the Bible, did they? Because if there's anything the Bible says, it's like we've read, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, real sinners, wicked sinners, sinful, sin-laden sinners. I heard this story a couple of days ago. In Britain, there's, you know, it's been to a large degree, a socialized country, and it's a country that still has a bit of a class system that it operates under. And so you have what they commonly call the working class, which is sort of a misnomer because the folks really don't work. They live off the government. And you have all of these, what they call council estates. It's government housing and so forth. And, I mean, they're so committed to that political philosophy. It's kind of the cradle to the grave, you know, government provision. And so you have generations of people who have never worked. They've lived off the government. The government provides them houses and furniture and food and drugs and alcohol and you name it, you know. I mean, you know, the government doesn't, you know, actually roll up and give them drugs, but they give them money and they go out and they buy drugs. And so alcoholism and heroin addiction and all, it's just prevalent in these council estates. And subsequently, you have, you know, the children, by the time they're 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, they're already just thoroughly immersed in corruption and sin and thievery and drug use and pornography and so forth. I mean, it's just, you know, it's unbelievable the human depravity that you see in these places. And of course, we don't have to go across the Atlantic to find it. We can find it here as well. But it's quite prevalent in many places around the UK. So you encounter it. You come across it. In a particular little town where we've got a new church that's been established, there were 2 9-year-old boys known in the town as the evil twins. And we're talking like real evil, not like cute evil. We're talking serious evil here. 9 years old. Sexually active 9 year olds. Addicted to pornography. Doing drugs. Thievery. Violence. 9 years old. It's just, you know, it seems unthinkable to us, but it's reality. And this one particular young man, his family has gone to this town to do ministry, to set up a church. His father is English, his mother's American, and a few years ago they left. His dad had been here for some 25 years or so and felt a call to go back to his hometown and take the gospel back. So this kid was telling the story. So as they go into this community and his dad starts trying to set up a little church, they come into contact with all of these young kids and they come into contact with the evil twins. And this teenage kid is just freaked out by the depravity of these children. So much so that he's like, I got to get out of here. I can't handle this. This is a frightening situation. And, you know, in his mind, that was the last place he wanted to be. Well, he went off to Bible school. And while he was at Bible school, God began to do a work in his heart. And he would go out and he would get involved in some outreaches and things. And God started touching his heart for the kids as he would go into these different communities. So finally, it led him back to his own community with his family. And he began to reach out to these kids. And he told the story of this boy as he began to talk to him and find out all of the sick things that this little guy was involved in, and just his, you know, background with no father and his, you know, no grandfather all the way, you know, no knowledge of any male influence in his life or anything like that. And, you know, just this horrific thing. And this kid just doing what comes natural in his environment. And as he begins to talk to this boy, and as he begins to find out, you know, some of his behavior, and as he begins to tell him about why he shouldn't be doing that, the boy's just clueless. He's like, well, why shouldn't I do it? So the kid explains to him, this is called sin. He had never even heard the term sin before. Said, this is called sin. Well, what is sin? What does that mean? Well, that means that God has a way that we're supposed to live that he's told us about. And when we don't live that way, when we refuse to live that way, it's called sin. And as he begins to talk to this little 9-year-old boy about sin, this kid breaks down and begins to sob over his sin. And God touches the heart of this little 9-year-old. And the rest of the story is yet to be seen.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
But this is the kind of thing we're dealing with, but this is the kind of thing that grace is there for. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Over in Ireland, we have some friends that have a church in a little town on the west coast, and it's a kind of a surf town, actually. And one of the guys in the ministry there was the Irish national surf champ, and he got saved, and he's just a wonderful guy, and he's on fire for Jesus. And so he shares the gospel with everybody that he can. And there's a guy in the town who was literally like the town shaman. He had his shop where he had all of his, you know, materials that he would sell to people in the town, and they would come, and I mean, he's really like the town witch doctor, and he's well known for all of this kind of thing, just a full New Age practitioner, but just, you know, an occultist, basically. And so John just starts sharing the gospel with him. And lo and behold, this guy gets saved. And now he's freaking everybody out in the town because he's like the town evangelist. And the crazy thing is, he has such a hunger for the Bible. Every few weeks, he's flying from Ireland over to England to attend classes at the Bible College because he just so desperately wants to know the Word of God. But again, you know, this is a guy, I mean, just think, if you moved into a town and it's like, yeah, that's the witch doctor. He lives right there. They're like, hey, well, let's stay away from that place. No, that's where the gospel needs to go. That's where the gospel went. One last story. I was sitting in the church on Sunday that I was going to speak at, and this fella came up and he was looking like he was introducing himself to me. And so I was, hello, how you doing? And he just kept staring at me and kind of mumbling. And as I stared back at him, and all of a sudden I realized, I know this guy, but he'd gotten older. And so I didn't recognize him so quickly, but once it registered who he was, it's like, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, John. And we, you know, embraced, and it was a great couple of minutes of catching up with him. But the amazing thing about this fellow is that about 20 plus years ago, he was the town drunk. He was the town brawler. He's a big guy. He's the kind of guy that nobody messed with in the city. And we had a little outreach team go over to the city that he lived in. And lo and behold, some wimpy little teenager, scared to death, went up and approached him and asked him if he ever had heard of Jesus and if he had ever heard the gospel. And he said he hadn't. So the kid shared the Lord with him, and he got saved on the spot. He's been a Christian for 20 plus years now. So this is the kind of stuff we're talking about. This is what the grace of God is for. It's the grace that saves from sin. Where sin abounded, grace did abound much more. And now, this is where we need to bring it to the point of personal application. There is no sin in your life or my life that God's grace isn't able to conquer. And Jesus came, we've got to remember this, he came to deliver the death blow to sin. He came to set us free from sin. He came to break us out of that captivity. And as we go into the sixth chapter, as I already mentioned earlier, we're going to see just how all of this works. But we need to know this tonight, that there's more grace than there is sin. And that the grace is exceedingly abundant, and it's able to conquer sin. God does not want you as his child living in bondage to sin, and he's provided all the grace that's necessary for you to be freed from sin. You see, grace isn't just an idea. Grace isn't only the way that God deals with us. Grace is sort of a synonym for the power of God that works in our lives. Paul says to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. See, we can be strengthened through grace. And it's through grace that we obtain the victory. It's that power of God coming to us, freely coming to us. There's only one thing that is necessary to receive the grace of God, and that is to know that we need it. That's it. In the 20th verse, the first part of it, look at what he says. He says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." The law entered that the offense might abound. You see, what we need to realize is our sins are an offense to God. Sin offends God. He's not happy with it. He's not content to allow it to go on in the lives of his children. It's an offense to him, and we need to realize it's an offense to him. And when we realize it, and when we cry out and say, "God, I don't want to offend you," guess what he does? He supplies us with an abundance of grace to overcome the sin. But no one will ever overcome sin if they refuse to realize the seriousness of sin. If I think that somehow I can just go on in sin and everything's going to be okay, I've fallen under a deception. No, Jesus came to set me free from sin. He came to destroy the work of the devil. He came to purify for himself his own special people. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's what the grace of God teaches us. And as we cry out and just say, "Lord, I am a sinner. God, please give me that grace." Of course, that's how we get saved in the first place, right? But you don't stop after you get saved. All of those areas in your life that are inconsistent with your confession of faith, all those things in your life that are unpleasing to God, you have to keep on doing the same thing. "Lord, I hate this thing in my life. Lord, I'm crying out to you. Would you give me that grace to overcome this?" And he will do it. He will do it. That's what he does. That's what he longs to do. And we simply must cry out for it. And as we cry out for it, and as I'm saying crying out for it, as we're crying out, it's, we're indicating our need. We're indicating our desperation. We're indicating our weakness. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord." That's what Paul says. And that's what we're talking about. Who shall deliver me from this? Lord, you're the answer. Your grace is what I need. And as we do that, then that abounding grace that we're reading about here, sin abounded, but grace abounded much more. And that's what the gospel's all about. It's about the abounding grace of God. You know, I concluded just a few days ago that so few people really understand the grace of God. I think there's an epidemic in the church of confusion over the grace of God. The grace of God is God's way of dealing with our sin. It's his way of liberating us from bondage. It's his way of lavishing his goodness and his love upon us. And yet you find that so few people really get it. So few people really comprehend it. And unfortunately, sometimes even the person in the pulpit doesn't get it. I was speaking at a place a few nights back, and the minister was sincere, no question about it. And I know he was doing his best to do what he thought was right and challenging the people, but you know, it was just a lot of guilt and condemnation. And I sat there listening and thinking, these poor people, they're already beat up. They don't need to come to church to get more beat up. But like I said, the pastor was well-intentioned. I know he was. He could sense his heart. He wanted to communicate the right things, but he just laid more burdens on the people. And I was a guest speaker, and I'm sitting there thinking, my message is like the polar opposite of his little exhortation that he just gave. So I don't know how that's going to fly. But you know, I got up and I shared basically that, you know, our God's a blessing God. Our God's a smiling God. Our God's a gracious God. And I had so many people come up to me and just thank me with tears in their eyes because they said they'd just been so beaten down. Not that moment necessarily by that, by their leader, but just in general, they'd just been so beaten down. And one man came up to me and he actually had a little poem that he had written that day, and it was about the blessing of God. And he says to me, he says, I want to read this to you. And he reads it to me. It was really a precious little poem. And he says, I wrote this morning, but I didn't know if it was really true. I didn't know, am I right that God's a blessing God? Or do I have this wrong? And he said, and I came here tonight, and you just confirmed for me that God is a blessing God. And then a lady came up and she said, I'm the one that I always think that God's frowning at me. I always feel like God's angry with me. And I said, he's smiling at you right now. He's a smiling God. It's the grace of God. So know this, where sin abounded, grace did abound much more. And that grace abounds to the lowest pit. And it's able to take someone from the deepest depths of depravity and set their feet upon a rock. But it's the same grace that also takes us, God's people, further into his blessing. Further into the experiences of his goodness and his love. It's all by grace that we grow and progress and become the people that he's ultimately making us into. So just know this as we close. Again, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. If you've got things you're struggling with tonight, know this, God has more grace than you've got sin. And he's able to take that abundance of grace and pour it on you and wash and cleanse and renew and strengthen you through his grace for his glory.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl about this month's Back to Basics resource.
This month, the resource is When God Became One of Us, and you actually wrote this book. Can you tell me a little bit about the title?
The title of the book is based really on the theme of the Gospel of John, and the book is a 40-day devotional through John's Gospel, and of course, kind of the big theme of the Gospel of John is the fact that God became one of us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in this devotional, we take a journey through the Gospel of John, which you know is probably my favorite gospel, although I thoroughly enjoy the other three, but the Gospel of John has always been one that I personally favor.
One thing I love about this book is it's a beautiful book. It makes a great gift. Yep. To buy for other people. It's very edifying and would make a great gift to give to somebody who doesn't quite understand why God became one of us.
You can order your copy of When God Became One of Us by Pastor Brian for yourself or as a gift for a friend or family member at backtobasicsradio.com by scrolling down and clicking on the donate button. We appreciate your generous support for this ministry. For a donation of any size, we will send you a copy of When God Became One of Us, written by Pastor Brian. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.